Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
And welcome to the 466th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today on this beautiful morning with my fellow co-hosts. We have the lovely, as always, Lord Yushiro.
Some say good morning.
Some say. I hope everybody does. And then Ohio gozaimasu. There we go. We also have the wonderful Cloud9, the newcomer.
Hello.
The wonderful as always.
That's the energy we need here.
This is the good energy. Yes. This is the good energy. The good mojo.
Good mojo Jojo.
The good mojo Jojo here. And welcome to the Puckle Podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about everything Pokemon, from the video game to the trading card game to everything in between. Today, I guess, is kind of in between. I don't know. It's weird. People are still like trading Pokemon cards like they're stocks right now on Facebook.
Oh my God.
It's disgusting. Like, they're treating it
like
investment.
Let's talk about that in the topic, because that I have a whole bunch to say about that.
We can talk about, you know what, Claude, if you sign up in like 3 weeks, we could totally do a topic on that.
They're trading like their currency after apocalyptic event, kind of like in Fallout, they use like the bottle caps.
Dude, it's crazy.
Oh yeah, they're spiking right now.
On Facebook, I'm still part of the Verbank City group, and it's literally just guys like, hey, I went to Walmart and I bought this many. And then there's people at Target like waiting for like the shipments to be put on the shelves.
Why?
Like, because ever since Logan Paul did his video, like the world is just like, oh wow, there's money in Pokemon cards. And so now everybody's going and buying them, and it's creating artificial demand.
Oh, great.
And so everything's more expensive right now in Pokemon.
Thanks, Logan Paul.
Yeah, no, I mean, and then everything that Logan Paul, like, did his videos on ended up being fake cards, which is kind of funny.
Okay.
But it's just been nuts. The whole thing's just been nuts.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They're posting, like, people are just like, I have this old card. Should I get it graded? And it's just like, oh my gosh, calm down.
God, stopped looking at how much these cards cost.
Oh, it's gone ridiculous. Yeah. It's gone ridiculous.
Oh God.
Pokemon used to be like a reasonable like trading card game to play.
Yeah.
And I don't know that's the case anymore.
Oh my God. It used to be Yu-Gi-Oh! It was the most expensive, then Magic, and then Pokemon was supposed to be the economic version, you know, the economic option.
To actually play, it's less expensive.
Yes,
but like
I agree
all
with
of
that.
Like the vintage and rare cards from Pokemon are just receiving so much hype right now.
Yes.
Oh God.
Yeah. Like a lot of content creators, including like A-Drive, are really like riding that wave.
Well, it's smart. I mean,
it is.
They
it
know
is smart.
There's a big market for it right now, where people love to see them open these like incredibly rare $1,000 cards.
I think he makes money on it before he even posts the video too, because he has like people claim the packs before he cracks them, and like they pay something like $1,000 or something sometimes for these packs.
Well, sometimes like I understand some of it where it's like, oh, this box costs like $30,000-$40,000, and if you want to buy a pack from it, we'll send you everything in it. And he obviously charges a little bit of a premium because he's the one going out and doing this.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's crazy. We should do this.
It's terrible. It's the worst thing. We should definitely do
this. We should definitely get in on this. We should definitely think about it. Yeah. No. It's that's the big thing that I've been noticing in Pokemon more over more than anything. I mean, I did Fall League this week too. I did do my first rounds of battles in Fall League.
Yeah.
I got haxed a lot one battle. I couldn't believe it. It was the easy team, so like I expected to lose anyway. But I got poisoned by Sludge Bomb twice in a row. I think they muddied water. They muddy watered and got both of my Pokemon both got accuracy drops. Both of them at the same time for one muddy water. And then I missed every single time after that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That was really funny to watch.
It was absolutely awful. It was all of the hacks.
No, that's happened to me on the flip side. I've been challenging some of them and I've gotten hacked every single time.
Yeah.
Like,
good.
Gotten down to 8 left, lived on 8 HP. Oh, nope, the skull's gonna burn you and you're gonna die. Oh, muddy water accuracy? Okay, my facade's gonna just miss the next turn and I'm gonna lose because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
you know, when I don't get hacks, I win. And when I do get hacks, I lose.
Yep.
That's what happened, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's Pokemon. This is Pokemon. This is why. This is the game that we all love. In quotes.
Whoa, there's no quotes around that.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I Pokemon battles themselves are just like very. They're very RNG based, and I think that's part of it because unlike some like this is really bad to say, but like unlike some sports, you don't have to be good to win all the time.
No,
you can be lucky.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the best things about playing competitive Pokemon is that you don't always have to be good. Like even the underdog has a chance.
Yeah.
Like it's always there. Like even unfavorable type matchups can have a chance if the hacks fall in their favor. And I think that's something that's really wonderful about the game and something that everybody should remember and really appreciate and treasure.
Yeah, it just makes it exciting. Otherwise it'd just be incredibly predictable.
Yeah, no, I'm not looking for like chess here, right? Because like chess has gotten to the point. Yeah. Chess is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Because chess has gotten. Okay, have you seen like top like grandmasters play?
I have.
Like there was that one tournament that they were going like two grandmasters were playing against each other for like the world championship or whatever. They were in like 56 games and they had so many draws.
Well, yes, yeah. Like that is the hard part about chess is that it's so easy to draw, especially at the high
yeah.
level.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what I don't like.
Yeah, because there's no hacks. If that there's queen no would have been frozen out of that first
yeah,
ice beam,
exactly.
Trust me, it would have been much more exciting.
If that sleep powder would have hit that queen, let me tell you, the game would have been over.
That is what chess is missing. You're right. It just needs status.
Exactly. It needs status conditions and accuracy checks.
Oh my god.
When you try to take the pawn with the queen, you have to roll a 20-sided die. and then if you get a 1 or a 2,
it's over. You lose.
If you get a 1 or a 2, the queen doesn't take the pawn and it has to go back.
You have to make a different move.
No, your move's just over. That's how this works.
It goes to one space beforehand. Like it meets the they go face to face.
There we go. Perfect. Yes. There you go. We've just made chess way better, okay? I'm just letting... Oh, no. We've just made chess way better. Somebody
needs
to do
nowadays.
This.
Nowadays.
This needs to be a thing now. I, like... With the advent of, like, role-playing games... The accuracy checks in chess. I feel like that's a great way to spice it up.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I love it. I love it, I love it, I love it.
Best idea of 2020.
Yeah. Thatch just fixed chess. Just let everybody know. We fixed chess. It's over. We made
it's
it
on
much
every
more...
single like piece take.
Yeah, yeah, no.
It's
well,
a
different
accuracy.
No, different accuracy for different pieces. You gotta spice it up, okay? And different like overtakes, right? Like it depends on what piece is facing which piece. You know, maybe one's holding bright powder. You never know.
Oh my gosh!
You gotta use that water stone to evolve those pawns into queens.
That's gen 2 of chess, though, is when we start introducing held items. Okay.
Please no.
The pieces all hold different items, depending on that way you can customize your chess set.
Next thing you're going to say, the queen's going to mega evolve.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's gen 6, though, of chess. We got quite a ways to go. In gen 5, we're just going to push all the pieces off the table and just put up new ones that nobody knows anything about.
It'll be checkers.
That's exactly what we're gonna do.
All right, so Gen 5 is checkers.
Gen 5 is
back
just,
to Gen 6.
It's just checkers, and then Gen 6, all the pieces come back. But you can use checkers. But you could use checkers pieces.
But it's 3D chess now.
All right, so then Gen 8 is you get one piece that can move anywhere, but it's like twice the size.
Yes, it takes up four spaces. You know, instead yeah. of yeah, that's it.
Okay,
but it can only do that for 3 moves. Alright, so with that out of the way, we got some news to talk about, so let's kick it on over to the news segment. Let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news, we've got a lot of things to talk about today. Some are exciting. Most of them are Pokemon Go. And actually, Pokemon Go segment's pretty short today.
We have a bigger Puckle news, I think.
Yeah, Puckle news is exciting. All right, so the Pokemon Company International have announced a new competition for trading card game players, the Pokemon Team Challenge. Starting now, stores can sign up to take part in the Team Challenge. Those stores you should go to. Don't go. Please don't. From there,
if you do, be safe.
Yes. From there, players can participate in competitions using Pokemon Trading Card Game Online as part of their store to participate in the competition. You will need to participate through your store and be locked to that store for the qualifiers. If your team wins, you enter the playoffs and can enter the grand final, which is due to happen by the end of May. That's actually kind of cool. That's interesting. Yeah. I'm going to read this blue part because it shouldn't be divided up, but you'll get the next one. Teams in the top 256 will receive special team challenge playmats for 4 team members. Top 32 will receive top 32 playmats. Battles run for the standard format of 2021 and run at the following dates. The qualifiers are December 5th to December 19th. Qualifiers round 2 are January 6th to February 28th. Playoffs are March 20th to May 2021. And the grand final is May 2021. The regions that can enter are the traditional Pokemon TPCI regions. It is North America, Europe, Latin America, and Oceania. This is actually pretty cool. I didn't know about this until I just read it now. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know they were doing it. The only thing that I think is weird is that you have to do it at a store.
You have to go to a store. Yeah.
And you're a team.
And I like the idea of a team thing. Like, I would prefer it if it were like...
How does a team challenge work, though, for TCG?
I don't understand if it's like, hey, we're all playing on individual accounts, or if it's just like one account that you all drive together. You know what I mean? Because they do have that for Hearthstone.
Yeah, and I know that like when Magic does their team stuff, it's you have 3 people playing at the same time.
It like different decks at the same time?
Usually it's different decks or formats. Like, and it's
let me take a look at the play because I haven't been paying attention this week. This has been an exciting week.
Do you wonder why? Is there something more important you should have been paying attention to? That? Come on.
Yeah, I know. I should have been paying attention solely to
the team challenge.
Well, solely to the team challenge in Pokemon. This is on me.
Where's our Puckle team?
So apparently we have to be at a store together. So I don't know.
Pretend. We can get a Discord store together, right?
It's incredible. We've had more commentary on how we would own a oil tanker instead of just having a store.
So there has been conversation about owning a store.
Oh,
like when we get together in Discord and the voice chat, we talk about it. But like, I feel like the logistics would be like Sigma would be the one taking it seriously, and then the rest of us would just be kind of screwing around. I kind of think that's where I'm at with it.
I
don't want to say you're wrong, but you're not right.
With Linian and Shimu just opening packs in the back.
Yeah, no, that's exactly them. They're opening it so they can put out the singles. And then we only have Pokemon on top of that, which apparently is the good move right now. And as we were talking about, they have no details about what is going on in terms of like how you play. If it's just like team challenge kicks off, the individual stores will host qualifier tournaments via the Pokemon TCG Online. The winners, blah, blah, blah. Once the teams are in place for each store, they will compete against teams from other stores. Each bracket will be a 3v3 round robin competition against another team. There you go.
Oh, so it's a 3v3. I wonder if it's like everyone's playing the same format or...
Yeah, I still really hate that we have to. No, it's all the same format.
Oh, okay.
They said standard for 2021. I am upset that you still have to go to a store.
I'm sure that it's them trying to save their, yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It sounds like a move to just get people to save to be in there and ready.
Yeah, save those stores, grandpappy stores that really are, that's their key of making money, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't blame them because those stores are definitely hurting right now. Mm-hmm. Like, those stores are hurting and... I mean, I don't go there for Pokemon TCG anymore. I go there mostly for, like, RPG stuff. I completely understand, and I think your local game store should survive if you can help it survive.
Well, go get your speaking of survives, if you're looking for max raid dens, have shifted and are now promoting various bugs and poison-type Pokemon during the month of November.
Woo! They're running out of ideas.
Well, it's been a few years, or a couple years.
It's been 1 year. It hasn't even been a year. Sword and Shield's anniversary is in like 2 weeks.
Everything just seems so long now.
Yeah. This year has been so long.
This year has been a decade.
Yes. Yes, it has.
The newest episode of Twilight Wings has been released in Japan as well. So, currently unclear when it's going to get to the US version will be released.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, I watched the Japanese version. It was okay. I'd like to see it in English. It's really awkward and it takes kind of like a different tone compared to the tone that the other seven episodes took, where it felt like it was like somewhat of a story.
This one's like a filler.
This one's just like Leon invites you to the Galar-Star tournament and that's it.
Mm.
It's really weird because they like try to do like players' point of view things.
Mm.
Yeah. It's weird.
I have to catch up with Twilight.
The first seven were okay. I mean, I'd still think the best like animation they've ever done for Pokemon is still Generations.
So animation wise, I think Twilight Wings is better.
In terms of the art, yes.
I understand I too prefer a lot of like the design and art style of Generations. I think the actual animation though of everything is.
I just meant the story and what they were trying to do with Generations versus what they're trying to do with Twilight Wings.
I think that's much better. I'm just.
Yeah, that's all I meant.
But is it better than Black and White?
The Black and White 2 thing just had like that one thing that was still pretty hype. But like it just had the one thing.
Anyways, if you are looking for more battling in your life, you can register for the Battle Spot Singles format event, the Tundra Tourney.
Yes.
It's open until November 12th. The event runs from the 13th through the 15th. Only Crown Tundra Pokedex Pokemon are permitted. And if you enter, you get 50 battle points.
Yay.
Yeah. Swanky.
I wish the rewards were better.
Right?
Yes, because it doesn't say anything about if you win or lose. Or...
No. If you participate, you get 50 battle points. And like, I wish it was more like the one where it's just like, here's the different ball guy shirt. Like that was. I prefer that. I prefer that to 50 battle points. Like, give me some swag for participating in your tournament.
Or better yet, give them like the different balls. Like, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Them, like,
oh my gosh! If they gave 10... me a friend ball for participating, I would love it.
Oh my god! Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they need. That's what Pokemon really needs to do with these rewards is just give us the fun balls.
Yeah, and then your participation will go up for sure. I also liked when they used to give you just like a random Pokemon too. Like here's a distribution you can get if you just participate and you do your three battles. I miss that. All right, so we've entered the Pokemon Go News Hour.
Woohoo!
The Pokemon Go 9-minute half-hour News Hour. We are here for the Pokemon Go. This month's research breakthrough in November is Togetic. Fun fact. We talked about this last month. Also, currently until November 16th, Lugia is the 5-star rating counter. So go get Lugia if you haven't gotten it yet. Pokemon has also announced its Community Day events. It should be events. For November, which are actually two separate events, both Electabuzz and Magmar. And I guess I'll let Jushiro fill you in on those details.
Absolutely.
We talked about this last week, but we can do it again.
Well, really quickly, Electabuzz, it's from November 15, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. local time. Electivire will learn Flamethrower, Electkid will hatch out of a 2K egg, and Special Time Research to provide Salem Stones and Electric for Electrobus paid research. And then the Magmar will be from the 21st, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. with Magmort that will be able to learn Thunderbolt, which is crazy, for me at least, Magmi in a 2K egg and a Special Time Research to provide Salem Stones and no match for Magmar quest paid research.
So they're doing it because it's flip-flop. They both can actually learn these moves, like, in-game.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Electabuzz and Magmar lines are, like, really intertwined.
I know. I kind of knew Electabuzz would learn Electabuzz because I've had used Electabuzz to do a game once, but I've never actually used Magmar, so the Thunderbolt was caught me by surprise.
No, yeah, Magmortar sets typically run it. Magmortar uses Thunderbolt quite a bit. The real issue, like, competitively, is that, like, Electivire goes from being a special attacker as an Electabuzz to a physical attacker as an Electivire.
Oh.
But Magmar to Magmortar stays special. It gets a little slower too, yeah. But he gets motor drive, so you just do that old Gyarados switcheroo.
Yeah, yep, that's it.
That doesn't work anymore. Please don't.
I mean, it would work against Regieleki, because it's all it can do.
Yeah. Go ahead. Claude, tell us more.
That's right.
Yep, yeah, you're
so
that
Pokemon
color
today. Go will be doing an event from now until November 12th to tie with the anime. World Cap Pikachu returns, and it can be shiny. Lugia is in 5-star raids from November 5th to November 16th that knows Aeroblast. Ivysaur, Pinsir, Golurk, Snorlax, and others will appear in raids. Bulbasaur, Execute, Cubone, Scyther, Dratini, Cyndaquil, and more will be more likely to be seen in the wild. And then Pichu, Mantyke, Riolu, and Cubone will be out of 7-kilometer eggs. Also,
yay.
There's also a timed research inspired by the anime, and Go may appear in snapshots. With a Go-themed avatar available.
He is, and it's the weirdest event that's ever existed.
Go, yeah. You seem wield events? What are you talking about?
It's not like we
have 1,000 Pikachus with different hats.
Man, I'm going to be completely honest. I feel like Pokemon Go is scrambling real hard.
I think it outlived its life, and COVID did not help.
Yes. All right. So our next piece of news is Go League Season 5 information is released, and who would have been surprised to find out this is what's happening? Legendary encounters will occur as rewards for players that are rank 7 and above. Various Pokemon will learn Incinerate, Poison Sting, and Flame Wheel as attacks. Future seasons of Go Battle League will advance the rank system to 24 overall ranks, with the last 4 ranks being ratings-based. That's a lot of ranks, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 10 now. I don't like that. They will be named Elite, Veteran, Master, and Battle Legend, respectively. The goal is to establish Pokemon Go as an esport event. And I'm...
How is that going to happen?
Good luck.
I don't...
To be completely honest, if they add it to, like, the roster alongside, like, Pokemon video game and stuff like that at regionals and stuff like that, if those ever happen again, if they add it, I'm sure you'll get a huge turnout, because that's way easier to do. That's way easier to do.
The problem is you still have to find all these, like, you have to find the right Pokemon with the right IVs.
So the difference is, I think you're saying that a lot of those people are going to think about that. I think you're going to have a lot of participation from people who do not focus on those types of things, because I think the people that focus on that type of thing is in the minority in the Pokemon Go community overall.
Then you're not going to win.
No. They're not going to win. Absolutely not. But I think the participation will be higher than VGC.
I agree. Well, I don't know. VGC could be fun.
VGC is a fun format right now. I think it's the healthiest it's been in a very long time.
What they need to do is make a Battle Spot Singles in the line with VGC.
Yeah, I don't think Battle Spot Singles is a good format for that, mostly just because of the 3v3 nature. I don't think that's nearly as, like, attractive as if they had, like, a 6v6 format.
Yes.
But, I mean, there's definitely a lot of logistical challenges with a 6v6 format. One being that you can't do best of threes, so you can have hacks and stuff like that happen. And you can have stall, and then you also have, like, weird timer issues right now. It's a whole bag that we shouldn't open. It's just something that we shouldn't open. But I think if Pokemon came out with an official 6v6 rule set for their tournaments, I think their participation numbers would go up. I do think VGC is a more fun format than probably whatever they would make a 6v6 format out of.
Yeah,
potentially.
So, because Battle Spot Singles isn't very balanced, in my opinion. You definitely have heavy hitters. And I would say right now, at least, VGC is currently in a good place. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Tell us about how Android 9 is broken, Jushiro, and then we'll move on.
Due to a bug in Android 9, relating to the Adventure Sync, incubators have shortened their hatch distance by 25% until November 13 as an apology while they repair the issue.
Good. Good.
Is it strange that I don't know what Android 9 really means? Is this like an old version of Android, or like if it would have been,
I don't know, I don't know if that's
iPhone
an old version
6
or not.
iPhone 5, I can understand that, but Android 9, I'm like, I don't know which type of phone is that.
It's not a type of phone, that's an operating system. So like a lot of different phones were probably running Android 9, more than there probably exist like a bunch of other things, but
wow, okay,
yeah we'll keep that in mind.
Poor Android users, I keep saying.
I know, right? All right, so our last piece, we have some Puckle news. I'll let Claude tell us the first one.
All right, so we have the Fall League, which has started, and will run until the end of November. Start collecting those badges. If you are struggling to beat some of the gym leaders, McGee and myself will be doing our weekly battles from the Poke of the Episode, over out, and yeah, on the YouTubes against all the different gym leaders this month. So each Friday, we'll put out a different battle against one of the gym leaders. So if you're struggling, you can always use our team to help you.
Yeah, and just use the exact same moves.
It may work in some scenarios. Because last week we played Thatch, and I don't know who we play this week.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So one last thing. We did a fun stream with all of the co-hosts. Well, most of the co-hosts, I should say. Competing on a random ladder that I haven't told them about yet because we haven't done the stream yet.
No.
Check it out on YouTube. Oh, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Check it out on YouTube or find the VOD on our Twitch and expect if you missed it, don't worry. We want to I think it's just really fun for us all to do. It's like a team building activity. And two, I think it's going to be just a good time overall. So definitely check it out. And I'm hoping to do another one next month if this goes really well. I'm hoping to do another next one. But you guys can also participate in these by throwing money at us on the screen. You can force a team to use a certain Pokemon for a few battles, or you can send little care packages to Jushiro.
I mean, your other option is, if you watch the streams and you are there live, you can always join the ladder and try and beat us.
That's true, too. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Claude, don't give them ideas. All right. On that note, we're going to go ahead and kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. So today, Claude and Jashir are going to be answering 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions sent over from the Discord server. With the 5 questions, they can get up to 8 points if they get some of the bonus points in the questions correct, and they don't use their lifeline, which is a hint. They are in a race with their fellow co-host to 30 points. Whoever gets there first gets a $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com.
Let's do this!
It's exciting, I know. They use Amazon shipping now. Fun fact.
That gets me half a keychain.
Gets you more than that. You can get a nice plush. For $20, you can get like a plush and a keychain.
Nice.
Oh, and a keychain. There we go. Now I'm sold.
If the ladder finishes before Christmas, they'll also send you a free ornament.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. We need to just get 8 points here, Thunder Shiro.
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, if you guys are ready, we'll get going. This segment, as always, is brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop for all cool, nerdy things. They gave me a new thing to say, and I forgot it. But you can use code POKEQUIZ over at AnimeGravy.com to get a discount on your purchase over there. Let's jump right on into it. Our first question is going to be from Coil Builder on the Discord server. Critical Capture, the rare event in which your Pokeball's catch rate is increased, was introduced in which pair of games?
Ooh.
That's either Gen 5 or Gen 6.
That's the exact same two that I'm thinking of.
I'm trying to think. I remember it happening in Gen 6. I know it definitely happened in Gen 6. I just don't remember if it happened in Gen 5.
I'm in the same boat. I think I do recall having a critical in Gen 5, but now I'm only because of the 3 stars that come out, like the whole, like, ding.
Did that happen in Gen 5? I did not play a lot of Gen 5, and this is why I don't remember.
Oh, man. Gen 5, Gen 6, Gen 5,
but
Gen 6.
You're right. I think you might be right, though. I think it could have definitely happened in Gen 5.
What do you think? We should go with Gen 5 or Gen 6?
Let's go with Gen 5, because I know it happened in Gen 6, and I don't think... I feel like I would have heard more about it being there.
Yeah.
if it was, like, or it being a new feature.
Right.
I don't remember hearing about that as a new feature in Gen 6. So I would go with 5.
Okay, then Black and White.
Black and White is correct.
Oof.
That is exactly where it happened. Oof. That's where critical capture is introduced. Enjoy that piece of trivia. I didn't actually know it was Gen 5. I never actually thought about when critical capture was introduced. I've just accepted it as a thing that exists now.
It just happens, yeah.
So our next question is going to be from Trainer Sleeve. Not including forms or megas, which Pokemon has the longest name?
Oh.
Not including forms or megas, what Pokemon has the longest name?
Yeah.
I would say Feraligatr, no? Because that one didn't even fit.
All right, so Stakataka is 9.
How much is Feraligatr?
Also 9.
Ooh. Okay, so what could have 10 in their name?
I wonder if Alomamola is...
Alomamola.
I think that's also 9.
Son of a gun, what's going on here?
Maybe I can't spell. This is much more difficult.
Far-fetched, still 9, because it's the same amount of...
I'm going to give you the free hint and let you know that they increased the Pokemon name character limit in Gen 6. Okay. Just so you're very aware.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
And they did utilize it since then.
Yeah, okay, so there's a couple of them.
This is much... it could be Stonejourner.
Ooh, Copperajah. How many of those?
I think those are both 10. I think Copperajah is a good one. I think Stonejourner could possibly be there. I like Copperajah, though. That seems like at least 10.
Anything else before we throw that one in? Or do you want... Well, we already have it.
I'm trying to think of anything else that could possibly be
there. I'm going to need an answer.
One more thing, and that's not going to know.
Ooh, not going to know.
That's 9.
Then
Copperajah,
then.
Yeah.
Copperajah is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is, I mean, you're not going to hate yourself. The answer is Crabominable with 12 letters.
Oh, nope. Would have never guessed it.
And Liger says, in his little comment, more like Crab Hoobitable.
Exacto. Yeah.
Being one of the few Alolan Pokemon left out of Swish alongside Toucannon and Kamala. I like Crabrawler as a Pokemon.
I do. It's just...
I wish it was in Swish. Maybe it will be one day. Maybe.
One day.
I'm not holding my breath right now. All right. Our next question is your Pokedex entry question. The way this works is I'm going to give you a Pokedex entry. You tell me what Pokemon that is. If you ride the Struggle Bus too hard, I'm going to give you a second Pokedex entry. If you get it on the first Pokedex entry without my help, you get 2 points. If you get it after my second Pokedex entry, you get 1 point. If you don't get it at all after any of those, it's 0. So let's begin. This next one is going to be from the British Gent. Its Pokedex shield entry states, all it takes is a glare from this Pokemon to take the lives of those with evil in their hearts, or so they say. Who's that Pokemon?
Okay, so it's Pokemon Shield, so you know it's only those 400.
No, it's Pokemon Shield encompasses all of them now. Like, all of them that are in there, so, like, all 700.
Oh, it could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well, it can't be Crabominable.
I mean, anything that's in there.
Yeah, yeah. I also think, like, some of the legendaries didn't get dex entries and stuff like that, too.
That does sound like a...
It sounds like someone that can use Glare.
Yeah, evil in their hearts.
So it could be Druddigon, sounds like an option. Dunsparce.
It has to be a Justice-type Pokemon if it's, like, oh, the evil in their hearts and he can remove it or do something with a glare. It sounds to me something like a fighting Pokemon. I'm trying to remember what's the name of the Kung Fu Pan from Armored Island.
Kung Fu, but maybe it's, like, Galarian Articuno.
Ooh.
Because it has freezing glare.
Yes, that's great. I like that one, yes.
Let's go with that.
Let's go with
that. All right, second Dex entry. Its Pokedex sword entry reads, as it waits for the right moment to unleash its Gigantamax power, this Pokemon maintains a perfect one-legged stance. It won't even twitch.
One-legged stance. It won't even twitch Gigantamax. Isn't that the evolution for Kung Fu?
Urshifu, but I don't...
Doesn't he use, like, one leg?
Yeah, I guess it could be Urshifu, then.
I can't think about anything else that could be on one leg other than it's not a Hoothoot. And I doubt that a glare of a Hoothoot can kill you.
It definitely could be Urshifu.
I'm
gonna need an answer.
Do you want to go with Urshifu?
I would just go with Urshifu because I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, me too. There you go.
Urshifu is correct. These are specifically
you were right to share with the fighting type.
These are specifically the entries for the Gigantamax Urshifu Rapid Strike form.
Oh. Yes, I might not be good with names, but I'm good at lore, and when things make sense, like sounds like a fighting type because they're the ones that are like the justice of, you know, the justice type.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's where I thought like Galarian Articuno could have fit in because it's new, it's Crown Tundra, it gets freezing glare.
All right, so this next one is from Stin. This is your multiple choice question answer. Since you guys got a question incorrect, you have a possible 3 points with this question.
Oh, gosh.
Because you guys are 2-for-3 right now.
Okay.
You could very easily be 5-for-4 after this one. Stin wants to know, what mythical Pokemon are able to be caught in mainline Pokemon games? This excludes all side games, obviously, and these are Pokemon that you might still need an event to unlock them.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask.
You can catch them in the game. You aren't, like, getting them from the man at the Pokemon Center and right. just being like, go in the box
okay.
now.
Okay.
All right. So, Victini? Are you ready for this?
Yep.
I would say Victini is definitely
Victini
one.
Victini is correct. So, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 answers. So, I will give you a point for 3.
Okay.
Then you get your first 2, and if you get all 7, you'll get 3 points.
All right. So, are you counting Mew because you can glitch it and catch it?
So, Mew is correct, but not for the reasons you're saying.
Okay, great. Celebi?
Celebi is correct. There's 3. That's 3. Yes.
Okay. All right. I believe you can catch Shaymin. Or sorry, Deoxys is mythical, and you can definitely catch that in Oras.
Yes, that is
4. And Shaymin too.
Yes, Shaymin.
That's 5.
What else is mythical that matters? So I know you get a Manaphy egg. I don't think you actually catch Manaphy.
No, yeah, that's Ranger when you get Manaphy.
Jirachi, I think you also just get as a gift. I don't think you
you don't catch Jirachi.
Darkrai is considered mythical and you have to catch
that. Is 6.
Okay.
I don't think Cresselia is considered mythical.
Arceus?
Do you battle it? Is there an event to battle it?
I think there is one in Gen 5. Maybe sure, not, yeah. maybe not. No, wait, now I'm...
I'll give you Arceus and we'll call it good. But it technically not because like the event never came out.
Oh.
In Gen 4, Junichi Masuda is like, it's too hard. So we didn't want to do it. But it's built into Gen 4.
One would be, would you consider, Keldeo as a mythical?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keldeo is a mythical.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But do you fun fight fact. Him?
You can catch him in Gen 5.
Sword. Okay. Nice.
And Sword and Shield.
And in Sword and Shield, yeah.
Nice.
So, that is all of them. That gives you guys 3 points, so you guys are 5-for-4. Your last question, as always, is your base stat question. You do still have the hint as well. Do not forget. And this one is going to be from Jeremy. Which Ghost-type Pokemon has the highest base defense stat?
All right, since we have to use our hint, let's just use our hint right now.
This is a...
If we don't use it, it's an extra point, no, right?
No, you have to get all the questions right. Okay.
We got a question wrong, so it doesn't matter.
So the hint is, this is a dual type ghost type. It is dual typed with steel.
Oh, I wonder if it's Aegislash.
What was the question? What was the stat again?
Defense. Ghost.
Yeah, well, ghost. Is there another steel ghost?
So I guess your answers are Dewblade and Aegislash, because I think they both have 150.
It's not a tie. I'll tell you it's not a tie.
Oh, gosh. Then it's one of the two.
Not anymore, it's not. It's not a tie anymore. It used to be. It's not anymore.
Oh, okay, then it has to be Dewblade. Because I know they dropped Aegislash's stats this generation.
Oh, yeah, that's advanced knowledge. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Dewblade is correct. Dewblade has a defense stat of 150. Aegislash got nerfed, and so he actually dropped to 140. Cofagrigus and Runarigus are the runners-up at 145.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. It's a good time.
I thought they were both the same, and once you said not anymore, I'm like, oh, that's right. They did. They nerfed it.
Poor Aegislash.
So that gives you guys 6 points today.
Yay!
That's a pretty decent turnout. So
nice job, Claude.
We got it.
Woo!
So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to sort these numbers real quick, like, using the power of science.
The power of science.
C to A. There we go. P. McGee is in first place with 7 points. In a four-way tie for second place are Whimsicott, Sublime, Claude9, and Jashira with 6 points. Everybody else has yet to get on the board. All right. I mean, it's a new ladder. This is what
happens. How does McGee have 7?
He has 7 because he helped, I believe it was Sigma, cross the finish line.
Dang it.
So that's what happened.
I'm coming for you, McGee.
I mean, it's just one away.
I'm coming.
So, yeah, that is it for Puckle's Poke Quiz. We will be back at it with more Puckle's Poke Quiz next week. Check that out then. But until then, we're going to kick it on over to the topic. We have a new iTunes review this week from Andrew. 5 stars. I saw a thread on Twitter that recommended this podcast. I said, why not? Pokemon is the hobby I love the most. I love that there is a rotation of hosts for different views and openness to have conversations revolving around everything in the Pokemon community. As a Pokemon lover since I got Yellow version so long ago, this is a great podcast for those who are obsessed with Pokemon. Well, thank you, Andrew. And if you, too, would like to leave us a review, go on over to iTunes wherever you listen to our podcast, and we'd really appreciate it, and we might read it on the show. Well, let's move on to the topic. And welcome to the topic. The topic today is going to be, I don't know what we're going to title this, but Nintendo released their sales numbers for their quarterly earnings this past week for Q3 of 2020. This isn't 2018. If only we could go back.
and have this to look forward to. Are you crazy?
Yeah, right. So it's 2020 Q3. They released their numbers. One notable thing that's not Pokemon to note is that Animal Crossing sold like 35 million copies so far.
Yeah.
That's more than any Pokemon.
Yeah, that's more than any. Well, I don't know if it's more than like Red and Blue. Yeah, I know, but it's a lot. It's a lot. 35 million copies of a game in like 6 months. That's a lot.
It was a perfect eclipse between that and COVID-19 that just created a perfect storm for people just wanting a second life.
I'm also very curious to see, to know, even without COVID, if Animal Crossing would have done that well. I think it would have, personally.
Really? Interesting.
I think the Animal Crossing crowd, I don't know if it would have done 35 million copies, but I could see it being 20 million.
I think it still would have done very, very well.
I think because
of COVID, yeah. People being stuck there and like,
And it became a meme. It became a meme right at the beginning. So right. Like, and that's something big we're seeing with gaming culture, I think, especially recently, is like a game becoming the zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm.
And that like pushes it forward, like Among Us right now and stuff like that, which yes. I think is really interesting to see.
Yeah, I was talking with my hairdresser yesterday about Among Us, which yeah. was nuts. I loved it.
It's really cool. It's really interesting.
Well, when the outside is pretty dangerous, you do want to keep inside and play something virtual so you don't get killed.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. But I think Animal Crossing still would have done well just because the Animal Crossing fan base is ginormous right now. They've been waiting for a game for 7 years.
And TikTok is a thing, and everything that gets in TikTok just completely goes wild in Gen Z.
Those kids these days.
They're great. I love them. Go Gen Z. Go Zoomers. You go. You do you.
You do you. More importantly, because we're a Pokemon podcast and not an Animal Crossing podcast, Pokemon numbers came out too. So we got to hear about Sword and Shield sales numbers. They are still trickling in over the year. So currently, Pokemon Sword and Shield are at 19.02 million sales, which is that's pretty nutsos.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I think part of it, I want to say, because the way that when Sigma and I talk about the sales numbers for Pokemon Sword and Shield is that every game on the Switch kind of gets like a Switch bump.
Yeah.
Because it's either a console game that's now becoming a handheld game, or it's a handheld game now becoming a console game. And so there's kind of like that novelty Switch bump that happens, I think. And so a lot of series are seeing this, like Zelda's never been a series that's ever sold anything like 17 million copies until Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. Breath of the Wild was another thing. That's just,
oof. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's its own monster. Cause that was such a game.
That was a great game.
It was just that good of a game. Mm-hmm. Like, it did everything you wanted from like the first game on the Switch. Like,
yeah,
that was the perfect way to introduce a new console, was have such a game.
Such a heavy hitter right there. And I think that's really interesting. But some of the sales numbers, so one, Pokemon Sword and Shield, I think, are still the third best-selling main series game of all time.
Well, let's rattle off the numbers.
So it's still behind Gold and Silver and Red and Blue, which is, I mean, those are the only things that are beating it. Gold and Silver, yeah. And Red and Blue. I think Gold and Silver at like 22 million.
Are those Gold and Silver and Red and Blue numbers include digital sales after the fact?
No, so they don't. Those okay. don't include those. Okay. Those don't include like the digital sales. And honestly, I feel like it would kind of be, that wouldn't be an apples to oranges type thing either.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I mean. Like, because those are like old games, right? So it's understandable
they don't typically sell.
And we still have this holiday year. Like, in a year, selling 19 million copies when what? Gold, silver is what you said, 20, 22?
I think it's 22. Yeah. I think it's 22.
That's close.
Mm-hmm. Mickey didn't write it down for me, so I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it's 22. No, it's definitely close, and I don't disagree with that. I would caution you just based on like the rate of sales. Like the last sales numbers we got for Q2 back in July showed us at 18.22 million Sword and Shield numbers. So just like keep that framing in mind. You also have to think about like even the Q1 numbers where we saw that Pokemon sold something like not even Q1, but like Q4 2019 numbers, that it was like 16 million copies back then. So like you have to remember this is like it's an exponential decrease in terms of sales after the game's released. I wouldn't be surprised, like Claude said, if there's some kind of like Christmas bump because there's no Pokemon game this year. They did just come out yesterday with the Pokemon Plus expansion pack game. So you can definitely go ahead and buy that.
The Game of the Year edition, as they would colloquial always call.
I'm very happy. My insides are happy, and I don't think this is something that like I don't want to harp on too much, but like I'm very happy they didn't call it that, a complete edition or something like that, because it at least leaves the door open for something else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I totally understand them putting this out the way it is. I mean, it's still like $90.
I mean, we still have the west and the north of Galar to fill out.
Right, right.
So there's some decent spaces there that could be filled.
And even if you look at like the map in the game, there's like a bunch of like blank gray space over to the side. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is more. I wouldn't be surprised if there was more. I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't any more. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
That's the thing, though, is that because they did this DLC as part of an expansion on top of base Sword and Shield, mm-hmm. they're going to get more people than if you look at, let's say, Sun and Moon to Ultra Sun and Moon.
Okay, so I think that's a difficult comparison to say, like, hey, you're going to increase the sales even more based on Christmas because of that, because the expansion pass is something that probably already would have been purchased. If the expansion pass numbers were separate, which they aren't, I would say, sure, let's do that. I agree with you. Also, the attach rate has already been, like, super high. Right. This is just a way for people to continue buying Sword and Shield and have the ability to buy the DLC at the same time and not have to worry about it. You don't have to get on the internet to download it. You just have
it. It's already there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And I have to say this, I like this winning recipe. I believe that Pokemon is just perfectly designed for a living world where you just need to give me a really good world and keep updating it for a few years and just give me a brand new world and keep updating that for a few years. It's just
this
prime
is
for that.
The future of open world Pokemon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think open world's a strong word. Let's roll back. But I really think that, I mean, you can think it's open world, Claude.
I think this is the step towards an open world game.
I don't know how I'd feel about that personally, like an open world game. Maybe it could be sold to me, like when they do it, I'll be like, oh, this makes sense. But I personally like Pokemon just kind of being an escape, and I don't need to socialize.
Oh no, right? I don't think he means MMO. I think he just
I'm
means
thinking
like,
MMO. Why am I thinking MMO?
No, no,
oh my gosh.
No. No, he's talking like Breath of the Wild.
You know, you're absolutely right. I'm wrong. I am wrong.
Like, if we go back to Breath of the Wild, like, imagine you can do any order of any gym, any route.
No, I
and
think
just
that
everything scales.
I think that should absolutely. I mean, I think Crown Tundra was a better demonstration.
Exactly. Yeah, I was just gonna say that. I think based on the DLCs, we can see that that's the direction they really want to go. It's just that they didn't have either the time, the know-how, the experience in the game engine before that, and then as they show their DLC, they're showing that they're getting better at that. Oh no, you can go at any direction instead of just following a specific route. So
and that's the
I'm
thing,
excited
is,
for like, the next one.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
and that would be the thing where you can easily put areas restricted behind HMs, I purposely say HMs because like you don't want people to like run through to the end of the game without any badges.
Right.
Grab like their all their like overpowered mythic like pseudo legendaries and then start the game with that. Like you can put things behind other barriers that require you to do other things before.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then but you keep a level cap. So it's like, oh, everything is kind of like capped at this level until you do
or
this.
Vice versa. You can have the game also escalate with you and then you choose which gyms you want to go and get
Well, that's exactly what happened with the wild area, yep. right? I mean, it scales exactly. with you. And I think that's definitely a good sign. I mean, these sales numbers are, I mean, I'm still waiting to see, like, if they finish out the decks and, like, I think everything's going to be fine. I think Gen 9 is going to sell spectacularly.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't finish the decks, I can still see there being, like, some, I mean, fix the timer and I think you fix a lot more issues, personally. But if they fix some, like, if they fix a couple of those issues before the game's out, because my worry has been, like, if people are truly unhappy with Sword and Shield, it's not going to be reflected in the Sword and Shield sales numbers. That doesn't make any sense. People are going to buy the game. I think that's the thing. Like, people are just like, look how good Sword and Shield is. All those people were wrong. And it's like, let's calm down. It's not going to affect the Sword and Shield numbers. It's going to affect the next game's numbers.
Oh.
Because if they're just like, oh, I'm not happy with Sword and Shield, I'm done. You know?
I think there's a lot less people that think that way. If they're already fans of Pokemon, it seems to me, and why the disconnect in numbers is that the people who are usually complaining, they still buy them.
Oh, no, that's what I think our argument's genuinely the same.
Yeah, I think there's a lot less people that go like, oh, I bought this, and I'm like, I'm not gonna buy the next one. If they're not already, you know, if Sword and Shield was their first Pokemon game, then yes, I can understand that. But I don't think that's the case for anyone else.
I think you're also missing the demographic, because I think a huge demographic of people who bought into this 19 million. So for reference for everybody at home, Sun and Moon sold 16.2 million, X and Y sold 16.5 million, or 4.5 million, excuse me. And let's go hit 12.5 million finally. Good for it. Good for it. Good job, let's go. I think there's another demographic of people who bought Sword and Shield that we're not really discussing at all. A lot of people that bought Sword and Shield are like first time back to Pokemon in a very long time people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say this is reminiscent of Gen 6 for me. I'll say there was a big bump between like in Gen 6 because, I know a lot of people and a lot of my friends personally where we stopped playing Pokemon as much in Gen 5 and we all got back into it in Gen 6 because mm-hmm. it looked amazing and the games were good.
I agree with that. And I think the same thing happened with Sword and Shield, but I think to a greater extent, just because mm-hmm. a lot of people already had a Switch.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of people already had a Switch.
Or gave people a reason to buy a Switch.
A lot of people who wouldn't have bought a 3DS that played video games probably own a Switch and not a 3DS.
Yeah.
And I think that is a big thing. And they go, it's been a really long time since I played a Pokemon game. It's on the console that I own. Let me buy it. And also, it's also console Pokemon. And everybody's like, oh, man, console Pokemon. I've been waiting for this.
And everybody was getting off the go bandwagon, too. So there was a lot of revived hype over Pokemon.
Absolutely. Like, these numbers are definitely, they're impressive. I still think they can make Pokemon Sword and Shield even better. Just, like, more DLC. Like, do it for, like, just support it for, like, 3 years and then come out with the next game. That's all I want, honestly, from Pokemon now. Like, come out with one game and support it for 2 years afterwards with DLC, and then give me the next one. Like, that's what I want.
What about my Gen 4 remakes, Dad?
I think remakes are antiquated, and I don't want to give them any more excuses to remake Kanto.
Oh,
no,
God.
No, but I want my remake of Sinnoh.
I'm at the point, like, after we got, like, the Gen 2 remakes, I was just like, any other remakes on top of this is icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I don't really care. I would much rather, if it was the difference, if they go to me, if Junichi Masuda came up to me and he said, what do you want, Thatch? Because he would never do this. But
he's listening. What are you talking about?
He probably does listen, and that's why everything happens the opposite of the way I say it. I think he has a vendetta against me. If he were to come up to me, I would just be like, hey, all I want from you, if this is what helps you guys design better games, do 2 games per generation. I don't care.
Yeah.
Do 2 games per generation, but give me 1 game and then support it for 2 years with DLC. Give me like 2 expansion passes with 2 sets of DLC that come out, that drop 2 times throughout the year. Cause I really love how, like, especially this year particularly, Pokemon got like 2 revivals where everybody was playing
right
for a few more weeks, and I really really like that, because like what really happened in Sun and Moon was there was like a huge drop off. I would say that kind of happened in X and Y, but not as much.
Yeah,
well, X and Y had I think it was a quick shift into ORAS, and then there was a long drought.
Yes, that sounds right, at least.
So X and Y came out in 2013, then we had a little over a year before ORAS came out. Then ORAS came out, and then there was 2 years before we got Sun and Moon, which is unfortunate. It looked like there were plans for an X and Y 2, just as a heads up. Like, they just like leaked some stuff about that, by the way.
The C version, the legendary C versions.
Yeah. Yeah, so apparently that was like a plan to do that. They probably ditched it because of the 20th anniversary.
If you ask me, I think I don't want any more remakes. I would rather have them do the virtual console on the Switch and bring me the old games back.
Which yes,
totally
absolutely.
Usable with Pokemon Bank, so you can transfer Pokemon from the originals. And if you need to revisit, because my feeling about no more remakes does conflict with my feeling that I want to revisit all regions. If you are going to do old regions, just do a new story, new gym leaders. Tell me the story of Sinnoh 10 years after the events of,
we just want sequels.
Exactly.
Just
give me a sequel in that region with where I can explore and see all the changes. And look, the son of this gym leader, daughter of this gym leader, whatever they want to make it. Because apparently gym leaders are royalty because they have to do a line. But that's what I really want. I don't want any more remakes. I don't want to play the same thing with just better graphics.
I don't disagree with you at all. Like, so we have the 25th anniversary coming up next year. And honestly, if they really want to blow me away, one, I don't need a new game. Please, for the love of God, don't give me a new game if you're going to give me expansion pass content again, because yeah. I'd much rather have that. Because I think it would be really cool to just, like, hop on the Galar Star Tournament again, or whatever they're calling it now. The Galarian Star Tournament, and you add to it, and you throw in some, like, classic characters, oof. Right?
Throw in Red, throw in Blue,
yep, throw in Blue.
Cynthia, all the other champions. Yeah.
Jason, yeah. Jesse James from Go.
Oh no.
Oh my god, no.
Oh no.
At that point, just throw in like Archie and
Maxie.
Whatever the magma leader is. Maxie, yeah.
Like, I would be super happy with like a bunch of that kind of stuff coming in like a DLC update again. Like, and they finish the decks. Like, 2021 could be like a crazy year where they're just like, we're gonna finish the decks and make Pokemon Sword and Shield the best Pokemon games ever. And I'd be like, high fives, yeah!
We did it!
And I like, the only thing that sits in the back of my head occasionally is like, well, they already gave us all the legendaries, right? Or like a majority of the legendaries, minus the Gen 4 legendaries, which tells me there's probably a Gen 4 remake on the horizon.
Which I'm okay with, because I want to.
No, I'm not mad about it. It's just sitting there in the back of my head. They've also left out like four sets of starters. I would love that. Mm. I mean, I honestly think Sword and Shield's done really well. Like, it's definitely exceeded my expectations in terms of its lifespan. Like, I really expected it to kind of fizzle out within like a couple of months after release, but it's done very well, just like staying relevant in my mind at least.
So, like, and that's the thing. Like, I keep hearing people hating on the Sword and Shield games, and I don't understand that in my mind, because I thought Sword and Shield was a great game. Like, I enjoyed going through it. I wasn't the biggest fan of Dynamax, but still, I thought it had a great concept. I thought it had a good, fun little story, and that I left room for improvement with the DLCs. And those have added to it.
So the argument for me is, like, if they had to leave room for an improvement, I don't think they should leave room for improvement. Like, make it a good base game, and then add DLC that we still want on top of it, right?
Because I love the DLC they added in.
Oh, the DLC's fantastic. I have nothing but good things to say about the DLC. You can go listen to all of the episodes I've done.
But yeah.
Isle of Armor, I think, is a really good example of just like a generic DLC you could do.
Yeah.
I think Crown Tundra is a much better like story-based DLC you can do. And honestly, so like, I think I talked about this briefly on the show, but like, if they do Gen 4 remakes in 2021, let's say they do that, they can still fulfill my dream of DLC.
Yeah, the whole Arceus story and
yeah, whatnot. they could do mythical stories, just like the myth, because Gen 4 was like the last game that where we had the question about it in the trivia, actually, where like you could go get Pokemon or the mythicals and you can go catch them yourselves. Now what you do is you just give me your Pokemon, or you give me like the tickets to go do those mythical adventures and expand upon them a little bit. And I go get Darkrai, I go get Shaymin, I go get Arceus, you know?
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Mm-hmm. What if the Gen 4 remake is actually a DLC for Sword and Shield?
I would also be okay with that. I don't know that it should be a remake. I think it should be a sequel, but
you get into a weird area. Like, I would love to see like a, like, this is like the dream would be a Sinnoh, I don't want to say remake, but like a Sinnoh 2.
Yeah,
in the era of not Dynamax, Mega Evolution.
Oh
yeah,
my, yeah.
Absolutely.
So think of it like an X and Y sequel, but in Gen 4.
Yeah, I think that's also the thing that you can do to like really sell the next thing, right? Like, we got all the legends in Sword and Shield now, but I think the only thing that you can really do to top that is bring back Mega Evolution.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the one thing people want back more than, like, anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Mega Evolution is such a beloved mechanic, and just the designs themselves are so beloved.
I have to tell you, as a person that didn't really enjoy Mega Evolutions the first time around, and now am without them, I actually do miss them, and I would prefer them to come back.
So, now, this would be the other fun thing they can do, is they've done all these regional variants from, like, Alola and...
You could add in, like, Sinnoh
regional. You can flip it, yeah.
Yeah,
into,
yeah.
like, a Sinnoh regional of, like, I don't know, let's say, like, Corviknight or Yamper, and suddenly there's now a Sinnoh, like, regional variant of it. Like,
that'd
you can
cute.
Take all these new mons, and that, like, that gives a way to, like, feel certain things. Like, you can't do it for everything, and I understand they didn't put in a lot of forms for that reason, but you could do a lot of stuff with it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they can give a whole expansion and be like, oh, after this event happened, people from this region started bringing over these mons, and they started to do adapt and evolve.
So I think I want to end it here before we go on too much of a tirade. I think it was a good discussion. So we're going to take a short break, and we're going to be right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you on the flip-flop.
Episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 894, Regieleki, the Electron Pokemon.
This Pokemon is a cluster of electrical energy. It's said that removing the rings on Regieleki's body will unleash the Pokemon's latent power.
I like it.
It is adorable. I find it very adorable.
It's okay.
I like that he dances and he bounces.
Yeah. The dancing is the best part.
So Regieleki is a Regi, so most Regis have like a 200 stat unless you're Registeel. And then, and what they did was very cute this time, and they spun it in a very cute way for Regidrago and Regieleki. And so Regieleki's stat spread is base 80 HP, base 100 attack, which isn't too shabby, base 50 defense, which is bad. Base 100 special attack, not too shabby. Base 50 special defense, which is bad. And then he is now officially the fastest Pokemon of all time with a base 200 speed. So it's very cute. His move pool is also pretty narrow. IMO.
I would have said abysmal.
It is. I was trying to be nice. He does have access to ancient power, though. And then every other electric move, no demand.
And explosion.
And he gets, and he also gets access to acrobatics and bounce.
Oh, wow.
And that is it. That is your Regieleki. But today we have a VGC team put together by the good guys over in that chat.
It was Linian. This was Linian's idea that we all, like him and Sigma started with, and we've all tinkered with a little bit.
So Regieleki is on this team with a life orb to do all the damage. It's got his transistor ability, which, let me remind myself.
1.5 times all electric moves.
Yep, there we go. Yep, it just boosts electric moves by 50%, so that's good. Base E has got 252 special attack, 252 speed, modest nature, with electroweb for speed control, protect, rising voltage, because electric terrain would be really nice to have and do more damage with, and hyper beam, because you want to do all the damage.
I was gonna ask, what's the point in Hyper Beam there?
Hitting
heart
with a normal special attack.
Okay, yeah. I think it's more like a you're down to like you're facing a guard chomp and it's 1-on-1 and you need to just hit it to kill it.
Yes,
and you can't hit it otherwise or something.
Yeah,
gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
That's my only guess, but
if it goes big too, you get a max strike with it as well.
Yeah, which is nice.
So, and then we also have the supporting Whimsicott, holding ring target. With Prankster, 252 HP, 252 speed, Jolly. It is Tailwind, Switcheroo to give that ring target. Beat Up for the Cobalion that is also on this team, and Trick Room to set up Trick Room. Trick Room on a Whimsicott's kind of weird, but I'll take it.
It's to counter Trick Room.
Oh, to counter. That makes sense to me, yes.
Yeah, so if you see Trick Room on the other team, because Regieleki is so fast, you want to, you know, counter.
You want to counter Trick Room. Yep, makes sense. But yes, tell us more. Tell us more.
As you mentioned with the Whimsicott, and it has Beat Up, so we're pairing that with Cobalion. You know, with an Expert Belt, Justified, Jolly Nature, 252 attack, 252 speed, 4 special defense, with Bounce, Iron Head, Close Combat, and Stone Edge. This is one of your prime Dynamax users. because it gets that speed and everything else you need with it. It's pretty much a standard Cobalion with an expert belt. And then we also have Buzzwole with an assault vest. And this thing surprisingly takes a lot more hits than you would expect.
I believe it.
It's an adamant nature, 252 HP, 252 attack, 4 special defense. Like, this is like your best answer against Trick Room, kind of, a little bit, depending on what they bring, because you can take a lot of these hits, and you have Drain Punch, Dual Wing Beat, Leech Life, and High Horsepower. So you can take on those stack attackers, take on the Glass Gears, kind of.
I didn't realize he got Dual Wing Beat.
Ooh. Yeah, it makes him a Dynamax user for Max Airstream. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot you can do, and the Beast Boost just can slowly start going out of control.
Yes, absolutely.
Nice. Well, it's paired up with one of my favorite regional Pokemon's, new regional Pokemon, which is the Zapdos, the Galar version. It has the Adrenaline Orb for the extra... What does Adrenaline Orb add?
Speed.
Speed. Interesting. It has the ability Defiant, and you'll find it with the EV spread of 252 in attack, 4 in speed, and 252 in... Sorry, 4 in special defense, and 252 in speed, with a jolly nature. It has Thunderous Kick, Brave Bird, Stomping Tantrum, and Blaze Kick.
Yeah, with all of the Intimidates running around between Incineroar and Landorus, this kind of just lets you go, all right, you're going to intimidate me? Well, I'm going to get plus 1 attack and plus 1 speed.
Yep.
It's a way to counter those things.
And back again, Heatran. He keeps popping up. With Air Balloon for that extra defense on the first hit. And includes the ability Flash Fire with the EV spread of 252 HP, 252 special attack, and 4 special defense. The modest nature, with an IV of 0 attack, you're going to go and hit with Heat Wave, Protect, Scorching Sands, and Flash Cannon.
Yay. Yay. I mean, that's a Heatran.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I don't know what to tell you other than, yeah, that's a Heatran, all right. I think the more exciting thing is the ring target on the Whimsicott.
Yeah, because it's meant for another counter to Landorus.
Yes.
You ring target the Landorus and suddenly it dies.
Yep.
To a Regieleki.
Yep. I think that's the coolest thing is that ring target on the Whimsicott. That's really the answer. That's the thing to watch out for. I'm very excited for that. But yeah, this is team. If you want to watch it beat up somebody, you can check out Claude and P. McKee's video on Friday. Right? Is this the one you're going to use?
Yep, we'll be using this one.
Perfect. Okay, on that note then, we are going to go ahead and switch it on over to the... What's that next segment? The mailbag. All right.
Time. Send in your emails.
Mail. And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
And as always, we'll give out the Green Tauros badge to any email we deem worthy. If you would like to send us an email, this is the part of the show that we'll read them at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Last week, we asked you guys, I guess, more what your thoughts on Crown Tundra were in Dynamax Adventures, or if you had any good stories about it. So we've got 3 of them lined up for you today. I'm very excited for it. So our first email this week is going to be from Zay Paladin. Hey, Puckle people. First off, I wanted to give you a big shout out for making my night shifts much more bearable. Well, you're welcome. Thank you for listening and making us a part of your night shift.
Yes.
Listening to Pokemon discussion helps the time breeze by. Crown Tundra's been a blast for me so far. From my favorite 4 times week to ground and fighting armored Triceratops returning, Aggron, to the wonderful addition Peony, who in my opinion is the most accurate father figure.
Oh my god, I just realized that he's a Triceratops. Oh my god, you just blew my mind. Sorry, keep going.
In my opinion, he is the most accurate father figure in any video game. His boomer-like quirks and almost childlike wonder are hilarious, especially when contrasted with how serious he is when possessed by Calyrex. The drawings made me laugh aloud. Maybe I'm biased because I took quite the break from Pokemon and Sword and Shield the first time I'm actually playing competitively, but it's amazing how easily you can jump into the competitive scene. You were so correct, actually.
Mm-hmm.
What Isle of Armor began with EV wipes and the Sand Lady, move tutors, and expanding the decks, Crown Tundra continued with the ability patch and vitamins for Dynite Ore. While this means that my Series 16 needs a tune-up, I have never been happier to playing a Pokemon game, and it's been a morale boost having new things to add and do and Pokemon to use. I hope it continues, bro. I hope it continues.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
Sorry.
I mean, we don't know if they're fixing Dexit yet or not. We don't know the answer. I'm not gonna claim that they have fixed it until it's actually fixed. Anyway, I'm sure I've been going on for too long. I'll have to submit my competitive team on Discord and see how I can workshop it. Here's a brief teaser. It includes weakness policy, bulldoze, and clear body, but not on Metagross.
Is it on Regirock?
Thanks again for all the 8-hour shifts. You help make all the brighter Zay Paladin. Aww. Well, you're welcome, buddy.
You're welcome.
He gets the green Taurus badge because he said nice things to me.
Okay.
Next email is going to be from Omega Flygon, and Jushiro, you have this one.
Absolutely, and it starts with, "Hey, Thatch and dignified co-host." Aw, he thinks I'm dignified.
You guys are dignified. That's a lie.
I already love him. See, another green badge.
We should sue for libel.
Mega Flygon here again for another mailbag. Two, actually, since I didn't have the time to write last week. So, what do I think about Crown Tundra? Well, I finished the main story, and I think that it is superior to Isle of Armor. I actually felt like I wanted to help Calyrex, unlike Cup.
True.
I got my pseudo-legend dragons and added them to my team and have started to Eevee train them. I only have Viridian and Keldeo to capture. Funny story, I spent 2 hours chucking balls at Viridian and never even got the ball to shake more than once. Sigh.
Welcome to Capture Rate 3 Legendaries. We brought them back. Everybody asked for it by popular demand.
And I'm actually glad it's back. It made things more interesting.
Yeah. I like it. I don't like having to catch them easily.
Yeah.
I would prefer more like puzzles at the beforehand, but I think the Reggie puzzles were really nice too.
They were. I enjoyed it.
If only they didn't put Articuno in the stupid hail.
Oh, yes. I suffered through that. And next, what do I think about Dynamax Adventure? Well, my first impression with the video that the Pokemon company showed us wasn't good. But upon trying it, I find that I greatly enjoy it. I've caught a shiny Rayquaza. Wow. And hunting a shiny Ho-Oh. So yeah, I like it a lot. Well, that's all. Thanks for reading, and I hope it wasn't too long. Mega Flygon, over and out.
No, it's kind of like, I really like Dynamax Adventures.
Ooh, good.
I don't know how much you've played with them, Jushiro, but like
I played a few. I at first I was like, oh, more Dynamax, but then I realized that the mechanics are slightly different. I do enjoy that they have no shields, which is one of the things that really annoyed me of the original one. I would prefer, why didn't they just give them millions of HP? Just give them so much HP that when you critical hit, it's a quarter out. Right, but don't stop the damage, because part of, I think, a missed opportunity in Dynamax in Raid, something that we've been doing since World of Warcraft, is that you want to see how much damage you can do.
Right.
And you want to, like, prep your team, Pokemon, whatever you're playing, to do whatever, see how much damage you can do. And the fact that the original Gigantamax would limit you by a shield just completely destroyed that. And it just, this time it's much better.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. I really like them in general. I think it's really cool that they implemented it as like a shiny hunting method, but like a social shiny hunting method.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like I can shiny hunt, but I have to do it with my friends. And I'm okay with that. I like the idea of doing it with my friends.
You can do it by yourself. It's just much more difficult.
It's way more difficult. And I like doing that because it's like made my wife play more online and stuff like that. It's been a good time.
Yep. All right. We got one more email from Upside Down Malamar.
There you go. You got it.
And he says, "Hello again, Puckle Peeps. Upside Down Malamar back for another mailbag and another round of stupid crap. Nothing much has been happening here. I ate all my candy in 2 days and got some wireless earbuds. I'm sad because I keep forgetting to send my emails in time. Hopefully this is not too late, because if it is, I'll be triggered. Malamar made UU. Woo!
For now."
"And finally, I got my YouTube channel up after weeks of procrastinating. Now for my weekly, or in this case, tri-weekly showdown crap. Haven't been doing much. Have just mainly been using my rain team. I smacked people with
Dao's Technoblast until it got banned.
Dao's Technoblast Genesect till it got banned. And smacking people with Stone Edge Liquidation, Banded Swift Swim, Kabutops too. Sadly, I can't think of any memes, so none of those. Now for the mailbag. But before that, I would like to state I'm crying internally right now. Hmm? I lost my Switch the day before Crown Tundra came out. I am so sorry for you.
Oh my god.
How did you lose it?
I don't know. We gotta find out. Write back and tell us how you lost your Switch.
He didn't tell us. Like, this is what a cliffhanger. No badge for you.
I can feel you. I lost my 3DS once, and it was Poco actually that recuperated for me. Thank you guys, all of you. That
yeah, we
that,
did.
That
That's
funny.
True. I do remember that.
But I can feel you, man. I know, because it's not just that you lost, you know, your system. You lost all your progression and all the Pokemons you had and everything. Oh, horrible. So sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Showdown has been my only way to enjoy it, so I guess I can't answer the question. Now, maybe I can get a certain badge, if you know what I mean. I don't know what you mean.
I don't know what you mean, but you know what? I think Zay Paladin won the Green Tauros badge today. He's got to write back and tell us how the story finished. We need explanations.
Yeah, we need to know how you lost your Switch.
There's too many question marks. The story's not complete in my mind.
Yeah, so for next week, everyone just email Thatch your best how I lost my blank story.
Oh my gosh, no. Do not do that. No, what I really want next week, like if people want to email us next week, I think they should go ahead and email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com and tell us what they hope to see from Pokemon in 2021. That's what I want to know. I'm very excited to see that.
Also send in your lost Switch stories.
Oh my god, we're so close to the end of the year.
Yeah, it's very close to the end of the year. It's crazy, man. But I want to see what Pokemon 2021, what people want from Pokemon 2021, because we'll find out what we're getting probably in February.
Yeah.
Probably in February.
For the anniversary.
Yeah, the anniversary. It's just Pokemon Day.
Yeah.
On the 27th, but we'll find out. But yeah, on that note, though, thank you for that. And Zay Paladin, if you're on the Discord server, send us a message. We'll get you that Green Tauros badge. If you would like to keep up with Puckle throughout your week in your Puckly goodness, come over to the Discord server, like I just said. Link is in the show notes. You should also follow us over on social media, Twitter, mostly Twitter. We do a lot on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, and Instagram. You can also go ahead and follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. You can also go ahead and follow us on YouTube at youtube.com/pucklepodcast. The Twitch one's weird. I apologize. It's off-brand. Turns out that we made a justin.tv account like way back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
I don't remember doing it. I don't remember doing it, but we did, and we missed the deadline to get the name transferred over to a twitch.tv account. So we're stuck at a different account, and then we could probably email Twitch and get that figured out, get that sorted out.
Yeah.
But and then you could also support us in a couple different ways. One, by going over to Twitch, dropping a Twitch Prime subscription. You could also go ahead, go over to TeePublic, buy a t-shirt or a tapestry and support us that way. You could also finally go over to, what's that other one? You could also go over to Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast.
That one's not important at all.
That one's very important because if you would like Fall League badges, like pins, we will be selling them on Etsy.
Oof.
However, if you are at the $15 tier this month, you will get a coupon code for Etsy that will make those badges free plus free domestic shipping so that you can get them shipped to your house for free. If you're at the $15 tier. So I'm essentially giving you I'm giving you like way more than a $5 off coupon. It's like a $7 off coupon to just join the Patreon, right? And on top of that, you still get all the other goodies because we're still giving away horses and like Reggies this month as well. So keep that noted. But other than that, I think that's everything. So here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, I have been Trainer Thatch.
Some say I've been Lord Jashiro.
I'm Claude 9.
And it's closing time. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.